It's Friday morning, the 19th of June, and after a week that swung between loud boardrooms and machines reaching into the physical world, today the desk feels quieter and more inward. The papers I keep coming back to this morning all circle the same question, which is what these systems actually keep, what they remember, what they hold on to when no one is watching, and whether we can trust that anything we think we've pinned down stays pinned. Let me walk you through four of them. First up is the one-eyed hand to anyone who still thinks of these models as autocomplete. A study published this morning in the New England Journal of Medicine's AI track describes a collaboration between Boston Children's Hospital, Harvard, and OpenAI, in which researchers took OpenAI's O3 deep research model and pointed it at 376 rare disease cases that had already gone unsolved. These were not fresh cases waiting for a first look. Many had been through multiple commercial and institutional sequencing pipelines and discussed by teams of specialists, and still no one had found the answer. After the model surfaced, leads and human experts reviewed them, ordered more testing, and confirmed the findings in certified laboratories. Physicians established 18 new diagnoses. That's an additional diagnostic yield of 4.8% on cases that were supposed to be dead ends. I want to be careful about the framing, because the researchers were. The model never diagnosed anyone. It acted as what they call an explanation-first reasoning layer sitting on top of the existing genomic pipeline. For each case, it got a de-identified packet, standardized descriptions of the patient's clinical features, an inheritance pattern, a filtered table of genetic variants, and it was asked not just to name a gene, but to connect the clinical picture, the variant evidence, and the scientific literature into a justification a human could interrogate. Before they trusted it on unsolved cases, they calibrated it on solved ones, where it recovered the right answer in 48 of 51 mixed cases and 45 of 57 neuromuscular ones. And its self-reported confidence actually tracked correctness, averaging around 85.6 when it was consistently right against 42.1 when it was wrong. What struck me most was a single case, a child with early psychosis, where the model inferred a structural deletion on chromosome 22 that wasn't even listed in the input data, tied it to the child's cardiac and immune and neurological features, and proposed DiGeorge syndrome. Follow-up sequencing confirmed it. The honest read is that this is retrospective. The reviewers weren't blinded, and nobody measured time saved or false positives. But as a template, the idea that an old genome becomes newly readable every time the surrounding knowledge moves, this is the most concrete thing I've seen. That brings me to the second story, which takes the same word, memory, and turns it on the models themselves. There's a new diagnostic benchmark called WR Bench, posted to the archive this morning, and it makes an argument I've wanted someone to make for a while. We judge world models, the systems that generate video of a scene unfolding, on whether they render convincing frames on demand. But the authors point out that a real model of the world needs something more, an internal state that keeps evolving over time whether or not a camera is pointed at it. They put it beautifully, that objects should endure much as the moon holds to its orbit when no one is looking. Existing benchmarks never ask this. They reward fidelity and motion and camera control, and they never check whether a generated world keeps running once it's unobserved. So WR Bench treats the camera itself as an intervention. Move it away from part of the scene, then bring it back and ask whether the object that left the frame still has the same identity, the same position, the same in-progress event when you return. And the finding is that current systems mostly fail. This, they render beautifully, but when something leaves view and comes back, its identity or its state frequently doesn't survive. What you're watching, in other words, is closer to a very coherent continuation of pixels than a simulation of a world that exists independently of the viewport. The reason I find this important rather than merely clever is the timing. The same week brought a system called Kairos, a world model stack built specifically to maintain persistent state over long horizons. Using a hybrid attention design, Dussel put the two together and you can see a field converging on a diagnosis and a prescription at the same moment. The thing that separates an impressive video generator from a usable world model is exactly this persistent, observation-independent state. And now there's a way to measure the gap. My third story keeps us on memory, but moves from models to agents. Perplexity launched something this morning called Brain, and it inverts the usual idea of what AI memory is for. Most assistant memory is about you, the user, your preferences and your contacts, and your working style, and its purpose is to make the product feel more personal. Brain instead remembers what the agent did, which approaches worked, which failed, which corrections you made, which sources turned out to be dead ends. It builds what they call a context graph of the work, and then at intervals, overnight, for instance, it reviews that graph and teaches itself to do the work better. The memory isn't a transcript you retrieve, it's a set of procedural lessons that get resynthesized while you sleep. The numbers Perplexity reports are the kind I'd want independent confirmation on, but they're worth stating. They say Brain increases answer correctness by 25% on tasks the agent has seen before, lifts recall by 16%, and cuts the cost of tasks that need historical context by 13%, with bigger gains the longer you use it. And every memory entry links back to the session or file it came from, which matters because an agent that acts on accumulated assumptions needs to be auditable about where those assumptions came from. I'll flag the obvious tension, an overnight loop that rewrites its own lessons, raises the question of how a wrong lesson gets unlearned, and how you'd notice if the context graph quietly went bad. But the direction is what's striking. This is agent memory reframed from making the conversation feel warm to making the worker actually get better at the job. And it lands alongside a cluster of research this week on agent self-evolution and memory-driven advantage, all pointing the same way. And the fourth story is the one that complicates all the others, because it's about the moment when something we thought we'd pinned down doesn't hold. It comes from interpretability, the effort to understand what's happening inside these models. One of the more hopeful recent tools there is the sparse autoencoder, which decomposes a model's internal activations into features that look interpretable, and a whole line of safety work assumes you can use those features as handles. Find the feature that fires for some unsafe behavior, clamp it down, and the model should stop. This paper says, not so fast. The authors show that clamping the feature can block one visible route to a behavior without eliminating the behavior at all. Here's the part that should give you pause. They start from the state of the model after the unsafe feature has been clamped, and they optimize a small perturbation that recovers the original behavior while holding that targeted feature exactly where the defender pinned it. So the behavior comes back through other directions in the model's internal space, and it comes back in a way that leaves the monitored feature looking quiet and controlled. The defender's dashboard says the unsafe feature is suppressed. The behavior returns anyway. They call this post-intervention recovery, and they show it under a strong threat model, which is what makes it bite. The lesson isn't that sparse autoencoders are useless. It's that a single feature is a route to a behavior, not the behavior's only cause, and that a high-dimensional internal space gives a model many ways to reach the same place. For a field that's increasingly tempted to ship feature clamping as a lightweight safety layer, this is an uncomfortable and timely result, because the worst kind of guardrail is one that gives you false confidence. So what was this morning really about? Four pieces, and underneath them, one quiet thread about memory and persistence and the difference between something looking right and being right, a medical case that becomes solvable only because knowledge accumulated and someone went back to look. World models that dazzle frame by frame, but can't keep a world alive once the camera turns away. An agent that finally tries to remember its own work and carry the lessons forward, and a safety handle that holds in the place you're watching while the thing you feared slips out the side you aren't. The pattern I keep noticing is that the hard problem in this field is no longer generating something plausible in the moment. It's holding state, holding truth, holding a guarantee, across time and out of view. The full digest has the rest of the day's reading, including a strong run of embodied and efficiency papers, if that's your corner. I'll be back tomorrow morning. Until then, keep reading papers and keep an eye on what your systems quietly forget.